Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thanks for joining me on the Go and Teach radio program. I'm Ryan Goodwin. I preach for the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. If there's anything at all that we study together today that you'd like to learn more about in person, then please reach out to our congregation, and we'd love to sit down and study the Bible with you together. Now, speaking of Bible study, maybe one of the reasons why you haven't reached out to a church, or why you haven't ever bought a Bible, or why the Bible that you own just sits there collecting dust, maybe one of the big reasons is that you just think the Bible's too difficult, that it's too complicated to ever understand. There's a great verse in the Old Testament from Proverbs 16, verse 25. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And our culture suffers from the illusion of seeing complications everywhere. Nothing seems to come easily or with simplicity anymore, especially in the religious world. The Bible is too hard to understand. Religion is too hard to understand. People are too hard to understand. Every denomination seems to have its own set of doctrines and dogmas. They all have their own agendas. Every reader of the Bible seems to go away with some different impression. Even people in the same sect of the same branch of the same religion find themselves differing and disagreeing and arguing. And in response to such a scene, a lot of people just throw their hands up in the air and dismiss Christianity as just being too complicated and the Bible too confusing to ever come to grips with. So ask yourself a few questions if you're facing that kind of an obstacle. Are there subjects in the Bible that you just simply refuse to study because you'd rather be ignorant about it than confused? Are you afraid that if you study a topic in depth that you'll find something that doesn't fit your own opinion? Something that'll maybe challenge you a little bit. Do you wish that we could just drop all the debating and accept that Christendom will never agree on anything but maybe a few of the most major and basic doctrines? Or have you just given up on the Bible because you're not a scholar, you're not a historian, you're not a linguist, and therefore you're just not smart enough to unlock all the Bible's secrets? Of course, I say that tongue-in-cheek. Well, I want to tackle this subject today, and we'll start with this idea of, is the Bible just too complicated? Because that's the most common assertion, that it's just too complicated for mankind, and that we have summarily failed God in its interpretation. A reality that we need to face is that 1,000 headache-inducing questions can plague the Bible student, and that's not because God made the Bible too difficult for us, but because we're not always striving to the best of our ability or with the right motives for the potential that exists within us. We can understand the Bible, and we can understand the Bible alike. But is that what we really want? Much of what passes for Bible study today, or preaching and teaching for that matter, is just confirmation of what we want to believe about God. We come to the Bible with a preconception already built into our thinking, and we shove that preconception onto the pages of the Bible, and anything that doesn't fit, we find some reason to dismiss it. So our understanding of the Bible becomes so shallow, so lacking in real substance, that it's as if we don't even know anything about the Bible. Should we expect God to dumb it down, though? I really wonder about that, because in my own Bible study, I find that the Bible has already been written in such a way that everybody in the world at least has the ability to understand the basics from it. I wonder if it's more television and video games and workaholism. I wonder if it's just our general public trend toward very low or short attention spans that are the reasons that we failed as a culture to properly understand the Bible. Don't believe people when they tell you that the Bible's too hard to understand. God didn't design it to be intimidating. It's just the agents of Satan that want us to feel that way. The very fact that many people don't like what the Bible teaches actually proves that even sinners can understand it. In Matthew 21, verse 45, it says, "They understood that he was speaking about them." Now that's the enemies of Jesus. The enemies of Jesus understood the message that Jesus was preaching. They understood exactly what Jesus was saying and the implications of his teaching. So even those who disagree with the message have the ability that it's accessible to them, at least as far as understanding it. Not only that, God actually commands us to understand his will in Ephesians 5, verse 17. And he'll never ask of us anything that's impossible. According to Mark 16, verse 16, unbelievers will be condemned. Why? Because they chose not to believe. Now, will they be condemned because they were incapable of believing? Or because they chose not to believe? Furthermore, those who are disobedient, according to John 3 and verse 36, will see the wrath of God. What kind of a God would condemn people who were incapable of understanding, incapable of obeying, incapable of knowing what they needed to do? 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." Now, two things from that. First of all, you can understand it. You can handle accurately the word of truth. But the beginning of the verse says you need to be diligent to do that. So you can do it, but it requires effort on your part. I can understand the Bible. Now, I also understand that the Bible might seem very frightening to some people because of its length and its supposed complexity. But the secrets of the Lord, the understanding, the mission that we have, the means and the method to salvation, these things aren't impossible. The wisdom of writers like Paul and Peter and John and the words of Jesus himself are available to all people. In Ephesians 3 and verse 4, it says, "By referring to this," that is what Paul wrote before in brief, "when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." You don't just understand some insight, you understand the Apostle Paul's insight into the mystery of Christ. I love that fact. I love that idea because it shows that you don't have to be an apostle to know the things that the apostles knew. You don't have to be some great religious sage to know what you need to do in this life and to know the awesome mystery of salvation available to all people. And unfortunately, some will refuse to obey the gospel call because they claim that I still don't know enough, as if God's expectation is that we're able to decipher everything from the Bible before we're allowed to commit ourselves to Him. Keep in mind a few considerations, though, along these lines. God doesn't necessarily want scholars in his kingdom. More often than not, Jesus decried the religious elitists, the great thinkers and scholars of his day, and he preferred the company of the humble, the simple, the lowly, and the dejected. Many of Jesus' own personal disciples were fishermen from Galilee. They were reformed sinners. They were the poor. They were rejects from society. In Luke 18, verse 17, Jesus says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." Now, our Lord is calling us to enter the kingdom in a state of childlike simplicity, in contrast to the overcomplication of adulthood and all of its subsequent doubts. In that passage, Jesus is highlighting the attitude that we need to have in order to enter his kingdom. Similarly, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Speaking of the young man Timothy, Paul had this to say, "That from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I like that Timothy, even as a young man, from childhood, it says, was able to understand the sacred writings. He was able to understand the scriptures, the basic concepts of salvation and godliness based on the scriptures that he had available to him. Never forget what's written in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. "But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Christianity is not confusing. and it is not complicated, and it's not designed to confound the human mind. Devotion to Christ is simple and pure, and so is the message that comes with it in the Bible. Another attitude that can sometimes prevent good Bible study is believing that you're just not smart enough. Some people say, well, I'm no Greek scholar. And there are many people out there who want us to believe that only certain elite individuals have even the mental ability to understand the Bible. But you don't have to be a preacher, or a professor, or a Greek scholar to have a completely healthy and full understanding of the gospel. In fact, more often than not, some of the smartest people in the world have the most difficult time understanding the gospel because of their own pride. Their intelligence actually gets in the way of seeing the simple truths that are right in front of them. Supposed earthly intelligence breeds contempt for all things simple. And few words describe Christianity better than that. Simple, like we already noticed from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The Bible actually makes the claim that it is the wise and intelligent by worldly standards that often end up rejecting the Word of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and notice verses 26 and 27. Paul writes, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God." That's an important point there. No man should boast before God. You cannot find God through sheer intellectual exertion. You don't find God easier because you're smarter than other people around you. You can't outwit God, outthink God. You find God because he has made himself available to all people, of all levels of intelligence, of all backgrounds and educational experience. You don't find God because you're so smart that you found God. You find God because he let you find him, because he's revealed himself to mankind through Jesus Christ. He's revealed himself through the Word, which is accessible to all people. Paul goes on to say in the very next verse, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." I love that, my friends. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Not by your own exertion, but by his exertion. Most of our Lord's original disciples were just uneducated laborers. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all fishermen for a living. Hardly the scholarly type of people that's normally associated with biblical knowledge by our world standards. Jesus tells the Father in Luke 10, verse 21, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes." Now, what he means by that is that God allowed people who were considered babies in their thinking by worldly standards. He allowed people who were not considered to be overtly intelligent. He allowed those kinds of people to understand the message. And the most intelligent people of Christ's day were the scribes and the Pharisees. Because of their own high self-perception and their intelligence, they were actually hindered from understanding the good news of salvation. And even when they were confronted with plain and simple truths, they couldn't do anything but deny the obvious. Now, at least in my experience, I found that a knowledge of Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic can sometimes do greater harm to the Bible student than not knowing it. Most of us don't understand the language well enough to actually base our faith on it. Sometimes people even make the joke of, "I know enough Greek to be dangerous." When we get in the mode of thinking that our faith requires us to know Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and to be linguists and scholars, we actually come dangerously close to exactly what Paul is warning against in numerous passages. Paul writes that we should avoid wrangling over words and debates over genealogies that lead to the ruin of the hearers in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. or in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 through 17. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 now, and notice what he has to say here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And you don't have to be the smartest person in the room to find love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Now, you can be the smartest person in the room and still arrive at that. I'm not saying that intelligent people can't learn the truths of the gospel. We just have to be really careful not to rely solely on human intelligence as the means to understand God. Because he's made himself available in a way that anybody can understand. Intelligent people and unintelligent people, the highly educated scholars and the people who aren't highly educated, all of them can understand, because love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, that's something anybody can do. Now it goes on to say in verse 6, for some men straying from these things, you know, when you stray away from things like love and a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, you're going to stray far from what really is Christianity. You're going to lose sight of what true Christianity is all about when you stray from those core principles. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. Fruitless discussion, that's empty talk. That's people who just want to talk in circles and philosophize all day long. Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So more than mere technical knowledge, a faith that is expressed through daily godliness is actually the sincerest form of biblical understanding. When studying the Bible, you've got to believe in your God-given ability to understand what you read. God is the one who created you with your brain, so he knows how best to communicate with mankind. He knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses. But he also knows our potential. So give yourself enough credit as a creation of God, made in God's image. Or as the writer of Psalm 139 said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And jump into that book, the book that was designed for you to understand. Now, with our last few minutes in this program, notice something from Matthew 7 and verse 8. We're told in this passage that we're to seek and you shall find. And yet such a promise almost seems empty when confronted with the situation in the religious world today. There's such disunity, so much false doctrine, so many false ideas and misconceptions about God, about Jesus, about how to worship him, about how to conduct ourselves as his people. There's so many interests tugging on the potential convert from all sides. It seems that a more accurate mantra for quote-unquote Christianity today would be, seek and you shall find confusion. This is completely incongruent, however, with other ideas found in the Bible, such as 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, which says, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. But how can so many people be wrong if God promises understanding? If it really is as simple as seek and you shall find, the Lord will give you understanding in everything, then how can so many people who are smarter than me not understand the Bible correctly? Remember a few points here for clarification's sake. Smarter people than you or me have been wrong about a lot of things in the past. Just being smart doesn't make somebody right. For example, there were brilliant men and women who followed Adolf Hitler blindly before World War II. Doctors and professors of all stripes and all ages have been supremely wrong about the shape of the earth or its position relative to the sun or the makeup of the human body or about medical practices. Some who study the Bible do so with unrighteous motives, so no matter how smart they are, they'll always end up with the wrong conclusion because of their motive. Go to James chapter 1. James speaks of this actually in James chapter 1 in a really great passage, beginning in verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he'll receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Your attitude and your motive mean something when it comes to asking God to help you understand true wisdom. Some people only study and seek wisdom for selfishness. That's James chapter 4 and verse 3, where it says, "You ask and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." Others are simply asking the wrong questions or starting from so far left field with preconceived ideas that they will not understand the Bible until a significant shift occurs in their thinking. And still others never find the truth because they don't like what they discover. Consider the rich young ruler of Matthew chapter 19. He was willing to obey every commandment in order to earn salvation. He asked Jesus, "What do I do to get salvation? What do I do?" And Jesus told him some of the commandments, and they were things he was already doing. He honored his father and mother, and he never committed murder, and he didn't lie, and he did all those things already. But when Jesus pushed him a little bit further and said, "The one thing that you're lacking is that you need to give yourself totally to God. You need to sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and come follow after me." He wasn't willing to do that. So he was a bright and intelligent and successful young man. But as soon as he encountered something that pushed him out of his comfort zone, as soon as he dug too deep into the message of the gospel and found something that he didn't like or that challenged him, that was the point where he refused to obey. That young man went away grieved because he had too many possessions. He loved his wealth too much. And he couldn't obey Jesus. He couldn't obey Jesus. Even if the Bible can seem very intimidating and difficult to understand, keep in mind that your attitude will have a very profound effect on your ability to understand the message. More important than intelligence is an honest heart. And even though people like Peter or James and John were not educated, they had honest hearts, which led to high receptivity to the message. My friends, a love of truth will always be more vital than a love for intelligence. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." John 7, verse 17, "If any man is willing to do his will, he'll know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." That's his willingness right there. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know the teaching. John 18, verse 37, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Luke 8 and verse 15, "These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." So what's your heart like? We have about a minute left of this program, and I want to spend that time offering an invitation to you. If the Bible has always seemed a little bit too complicated to understand, come sit down and study it together with me or with any member from Monte Vista. Come to a worship service sometime and see what it's like to experience simple New Testament worship to God. There's no laser light show, no rock band, nothing fancy about it, but people who are simply striving to worship and work for God in the way that He's prescribed in the Bible. And if you've always thought about being a Christian, if you've always wanted to take the leap and become a Christian, but you're just not sure what to do, or you think that it's too complicated, let me just simplify it for you right here and now. Mark 16, verse 16, in Jesus' own words, says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." And it really is just as simple as that. So whatever need you might have, let it be known. Open up your Bibles, reach out to us, and find the answers that you've always been seeking.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monta Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monta Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.